My name is Mike Morgan.
Thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. The title of our message is How to Be Well-Grounded. Our text, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Do you know someone that is well-grounded? According to Webster's Dictionary, a well-grounded person is one who has a firm foundation. Their words and actions are based on good evidence or reason. In the parable of the sower, Jesus refers to four soils. Three of those soils, the wayside, rocky, and thorns, left their first love because they were not well-grounded. Without this important quality, man does what is right in his own sight. The well-grounded life begins with a proper understanding of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Man's view of God is drawn from Genesis chapter 1. A misunderstanding of this important chapter leads to a false conception of God and an unbalanced life. This morning, we will give an overview of Genesis chapter 1 and suggest 14 facts about the phrase, God said. The author of the book of Genesis is the Holy Spirit. Moses wrote the book. The book of Genesis covers about 2,500 years of history, which is more than half the time covered by the entire Old Testament. Genesis is a book of history, and without its important message, it would be impossible to understand the rest of the Old Testament and most of the New Testament. Genesis does not deal with imaginary heroes, but with actual men and women with whom God had real communication and dealings. God not only showed them His grace and mercy, but revealed to them that He would bring a Redeemer into the world who would be one of their descendants. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. The overriding lesson of Genesis is this: all life came from God and is therefore responsible to Him now and in the judgment. The word Genesis means origin or beginning. The purpose of Genesis chapter 1 is not to provide information as to how the world was made, but to reveal the Creator. That's the reason the name of God is mentioned 32 times in 31 verses. The Hebrew word for God is Elohim. This is a plural word, and it is used with a singular verb. Elohim is the Hebrew equivalent to our English word Godhead. There is only one essence of deity, but there are three persons, personalities within it. Genesis chapter 1 begins with, "In the beginning, God." These four words refute the theory of evolution. "In the beginning, God" is a denial of the claim that matter has always existed, and that living organisms developed from non-living matter. God was before the universe and the material world. The fact that God was before creation places the priority on spiritual things over material things. Genesis chapter 1 teaches us that spiritual things are to have priority in our lives. Jesus confirms this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." From the beginning of recorded history, man's real problem was his failure to respect God and put spiritual things first in his life. This is exactly what led to sin entering into the world. Genesis chapter 1 shows the perfection of creation. When God saw everything that He made, He said, "It was very good." The evolutionists claims that human life started at the bottom, a warm pool of water, and evolved upwards, from a monkey to the CEO of Boeing. But the Bible begins at the very top, the pinnacle of perfection. God's perfect creation began to spiral downward when sin entered into the world. Another strike against evolution is the phrase, according to its kind, which is mentioned 6 times in Genesis chapter 1. This shows the power to create was held by God alone. Let's notice some words that describe God's actions in this chapter. Verse 1, God created. Verse 21, God created. There are 4 requirements for creation that are present in Genesis chapter 1. First, time, in the beginning. Second, energy, God created. Third, space, the heavens. And fourth, material, the earth. This shows at least 5 attributes of God. First, eternity. Back of all things is God. God was before creation. He has always existed. Second, immensity. God transcends size and degree. God cannot be measured. Third, omnipotence. God possesses ultimate power. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Fourth, omniscience, omniscience. God is all-knowing. And fifth, omnipresence. God is everywhere at once. His presence fills the universe. By the way, which member of the Godhead created all that is seen and unseen? Answer, Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Franklin Camp points out something very interesting about the first 3 days of creation and the last 3 days of creation. On the first day, we have light, and on the fourth day, we have lights, the sun and the moon. On the second day, you have water, and on the fifth day, you have fish. On the second day, you have air, and on the fifth day, birds to fly in the air. On the third day, you have land, and on the sixth day, you have animals. On the third day, you have plants, and on the sixth day, you have man. This is an indication that there was order to the creation, and the account of creation was written with intent. My friends, this is not a myth. These are the facts. Verse 2, and the Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters. The New King James Version uses the word hovering. The word moved or hovered denotes action. From this we learn the Holy Spirit had a part in creation. Verse 4, God saw. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Solomon said, hell and destruction are before the Lord, so how much more the hearts of the sons of men? Proverbs 15, verse 11. Since all things are under God's watchful eye, those who know not God and those who obey not the gospel of Christ will not be able to escape God's judgment. Verse 4, God divided the light from the darkness. Notice there is light, but no sun. God's grace also makes a separation. For what fellowship has light with darkness? Genesis chapter 1, verse 5. God called the light day and the night darkness. He gave them names as the Creator and Lord of both. Verse 7. Thus God made and divided. God spread out the waters and divided our atmosphere from the heavens. Verse 17, God set the sun and moon in place. From that point on, our light is to be received from the sun and moon. And verse 22, God blessed. God's blessing was the power to be fruitful and to multiply. Look at all the terms used in Genesis chapter 1 to describe God in relationship to creation. There are only two sources from which man can explain how the universe was created. First, by philosophy, science, or human reasoning. The modernist looks to philosophy and human reasoning. The evolutionist looks to biology. They make people believe that if we give up evolution, we will have to go back to the days of churning our own butter. Let me ask you a question. What scientific advancement that we enjoy today would we lose if the theory of evolution was branded a lie? Answer, not one. Genesis chapter 1 transcends science, but it does not conflict with any scientific fact. The second explanation of creation comes from Genesis chapter 1, which says that God, a supernatural being, used supernatural means to bring this world into existence. Any argument that denies the miraculous account of creation undercuts the basis for all that we have in the Bible. The world is trying to rob man of the Bible by getting rid of God in Genesis chapter 1. When this chapter is discredited and doubt is cast on God being the creator of the world, you might as well throw the book away. It is not worth the paper it is written on. If we allow men to distort Genesis chapter 1, we will live in a world that celebrates religious diversity and disregards Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, which says, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." My friends, you need expert help to misunderstand how many one is. If we allow wicked men to pervert this chapter, we will live in a world that rejects God's pattern for marriage in order to promote the abominable sin of Sodom. If we do not understand that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, we will live in a world that devalues human life to the point of killing the unborn in order to sell their body parts. Morality, and the very fabric of life that is worth living, is dependent on the God that is revealed in Genesis chapter 1. The phrase "God said" is mentioned 10 times in Genesis chapter 1. Let's consider some things about this important fact. First, God said is the basis for understanding the natural world. Those who worship Mother Nature are without excuse, because since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. Paul believed that the world was created by God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. "For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they are thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him." God has revealed Himself through nature and special revelation. Man can understand that there is a God by looking at the things that God has made. Any attempt to understand the natural world apart from what God said is folly and a chasing after the wind. Number two, God said is the basis of our knowledge of God. Man would never have known anything about God without God revealing Himself. Yet, how many world religions have been started by a man or woman who claimed that God spoke to them? The reason we reject all man-made religions is because of what Paul said about those who pervert the gospel of Christ in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Paul said, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed." Number three, God said is the basis of inspired revelation. The word revelation means unveiling. Revelation took the mind of God, and inspiration passed that information to man to record in the Bible. It is interesting that we have this statement God said before man was created. Adam was not created until the sixth day. Yet we have recorded in Genesis chapter 1 what happened on the first 5 days of creation. How did Moses receive the information? Moses could not have gotten it from Adam because Adam was not created. Animals didn't know anything about it. Monkeys didn't reveal it. The only way that anyone could know what happened in the first 5 days of creation is God said. Moses wrote the first 5 books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. In the last chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, we have recorded the death of Moses. God carried Moses to Mount Nebo across from Jericho. It was just God and Moses there. After seeing the promised land from afar, Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab and was buried in an unknown grave by God Himself. Deuteronomy 34, verses 5 and 6. How did that knowledge come to be in the last chapter of Deuteronomy? There are only two possible answers. Moses wrote it before he died, or God said. He inspired someone to write it. The first chapter of Genesis demands inspiration. God said. And the last chapter of the Pentateuch demands inspiration. God said. And then again, God said is the basis of religion. In the Old Testament, Judaism was the true religion because it was based on divine revelation. The religions of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and the Jebusites was not recognized by God because it was not based upon truth. After the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, Judaism was set aside for New Testament Christianity. Today, God does not recognize Judaism or any religious denomination whose practices are not authorized by New Testament Scripture. What God said is the basis of all acceptable religion. Any religious belief or practice that is not based upon what God said in His Word is a tool of Satan designed to deceive the masses. Number five, God said is the basis of acceptable worship. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. John chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. Number 6. God said is the basis of marriage between a man and a woman. Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 through 24. Period. Number 7. God said is the basis of faith. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. God said is the basis of hope. Paul said, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Number 9, God said is the basis of grace. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Faithful obedience to God's Word gives us access to grace. Paul makes it plain that our stand is to be in grace rather than perfect law-keeping, because we cannot live a perfect life. When we put our trust in Jesus, we can rejoice in the hope of glory. We must stand in grace. However, we can stop standing and fall from the grace of God. Number 10, God said is the basis of help in time of need. Psalm chapter 46, verses 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. And then again, God said is the basis for peace. Paul said, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Number 12, God said is the basis of judgment. Jesus said, "He who rejects me and does not receive my word has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." John chapter 12, verse 48. 13. What God said in His Word gives us reason to get up in the morning. This ought to impress on our minds the importance of understanding that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. More important than knowing someone who is well grounded is our being grounded in the truth, having a firm foundation which assures that our words and actions are based on good evidence or reason. So here's the question. Are you a Christian? God said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Those who question baptism read this verse and say, "I don't understand that." Well, let's substitute $1,000. He that believes and is baptized will receive $1,000. Well, folks certainly understand that, don't they? We would have a line of people in Culpeper and all across this United States who would line up to be baptized in order to receive the money. Salvation is more important than all of the world's money combined. Someone this morning may be asking, what must I do to be saved? According to God's Word, there are 5 steps to salvation. You must hear God's Word in order to have faith. Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. Acts chapter 15, verse 7. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. You must believe that Jesus is the Son of God and only Savior of men. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. John chapter 1, verse 14. John chapter 8, verse 24. And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. You must repent. This is a willful decision to forsake sins and live for Jesus. Luke chapter 13, verse 3. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. You must confess Christ before men. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. Acts chapter 8, verse 37. Romans chapter 10, verse 10. And you must be baptized for the remission of sins, not because your sins have already been forgiven by saying the sinner's prayer. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. After conversion, we must walk in the light as He is in the light and remain faithful unto death. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10.